Well, welcome to the Grove Cast. This is Pastor Barry, and I am joined today with special guests Mike and Jeannie Puckett. And we are starting a series I'm going to interview a few of the folks in our church family that have had some experience in missions and share some of those experiences about their trips. And Mike and Jeannie, welcome today. I'm glad to have you up here in the upper room, is what we call it, joining us. And so I'm really excited to share with our folks a little bit about some of your experiences. Now, a lot of people in our church will immediately say, well, who's Mike and Jeannie Puckett? So you guys have actually been coming here now, I think you said, for about 4 years.
Yes.
But if you have not met them yet, they are people who do not let grass grow under their feet. They're always on the move. And so they're in and out a little bit, still do a lot of work and a lot of traveling and such. And so, but I have really appreciated getting to know them over the last 3 or 4 years, and I'm excited to share with them. So let's do just a little bit other introduction then. How many kids do you guys have? Now I'll let Mike take the easy questions.
Okay. We have 2 children, okay. A boy and a girl.
Boy and a girl, okay. And I know we've been praying for Todd. Todd has just fairly recently been diagnosed with cancer, just started treatments and some things like that. So if folks see Todd Puckett on the list, prayer list, it's your son, and that we want to continue to pray for him through this process. And that could be a whole podcast in itself, probably, kind of talking about that process and what the difficulties and challenges are there. Okay. And then you said you have a daughter, and both of the son and daughter live in Lee Summit still.
Our daughter lives in Smithville.
But close enough.
Yep.
Yeah, close enough. Okay. Now, one of the things that's kind of interesting, I find, that you come from, where was the name of the church where you guys used to go then in Lee Summit?
Lee Summit Bible Church.
Lee Summit Bible Church. And the pastor, oddly enough, has a Warsaw connection. Mm-hmm. His name was Roger Pickert, who his wife was a Whitaker, and I happen to live near Whitakerville, which is actually some of those Whitakers in the store and everything there. So, Roger, how long had he been your pastor?
A little over 30 years.
30 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize it was quite that long.
Yeah.
Oh,
our
my.
Our kids all went to school together and everything. Long time.
Okay. Yeah, so you guys became really close in all of this then. And, of course, Roger passed away, was it middle of last year?
Just October.
October of last year in that. So, all right, so then you landed down here in Warsaw and somehow ended up at Cedar Grove. And I don't know if I know the story of how you landed at Cedar Grove or not. Just threw a dart at a map?
Well,
or?
And we live about 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
But once we attended here, we loved it. It was by far what we wanted, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're glad you landed here.
Thank you.
Very much.
We are too.
All right. Well, let's get into the missions thing, okay? And let's talk about, first of all, where did you first kind of get an experience at actually going on a mission trip? And just tell me a little bit about what that looked like then in your first trip out.
Okay, we supported a missionary from Panama. He was kind of out of our church. And our church was there sending, and so we were asked to come to Panama to help them build a church.
Okay.
And that's, I and Jeannie and 2 other couples went to build a church.
Okay. Was that, how big of a building and stuff was that?
The building really wasn't a building. It was in a shopping center. All we did was build walls and rooms.
Okay. Now, just to flesh in a little bit, what's your background? What do you kind of do for a living or have done for a living?
I started out roughing in, but I was a remodeler, and I did a lot of construction work.
Yeah, and that's where I've kind of gotten a chance, and some of our guys have worked with Mike on that, and so we knew he's not just some guy off the streets, never had a hammer in his hands before. In that. So was that idea of going to Panama appealing for you right off the bat, or was that pretty like, well, I'm not sure I want to go to Panama kind of thing? Where did that land?
No, I always wanted to go. The church we were at, I believe some Bible church, the men of the church built the church ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I had a group of men that knew what to do, and I always enjoyed building and to build a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I built a couple of other churches also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just building a church appealed to me.
Mm-hmm. And doing that. And then you went too.
Right.
With that.
Yes.
And, of course, there's a couple of ladies in our church that will appreciate very much what you used to do then as a decorator, wallpaper,
yes.
painter, all those kinds of things. So you were pretty handy with tools and such as well.
Yes, yes. We tried to be a team.
Yeah.
And as ladies, to just when you go to the mission field, and of course, there's three meals a day. So mm-hmm. Even just to, you know, work alongside of them, cook, help with children. And I have taught 4 through K Sunday school for over 30 mm-hmm. years. So mm-hmm. and worked with youth departments for 10 and so forth. So it's always it's what you can use that you already know. And when you go and work alongside of them, it's so encouraging just to see how the children respond and all. So mm-hmm. loved it.
Yeah. So how long a trip was that? Were you there for a week or was that a couple of weeks? Or?
Okay. When we went to Panama, it was about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of work that was done. It was also not only the church, but they also had a bookstore. And so we had to do make a lot of walls and doorways and so forth, you know, hallways mm-hmm. and classrooms.
Were you able to get all that done in 2 weeks then? Or
pretty much.
Pretty much. Wow.
Yeah, they worked hard.
I bet. Sometimes that is. That's a long, long day.
Yes.
And I always feel like, man, when you're on one of those trips, there's just no time to mess around. I mean, because you want to get so much done. I know when we went to Texas, that was part of our feeling is this, I hated to not work. I hated mm-hmm. to quit
right.
because we're only down here for a certain amount
right.
of time. And that's part of that.
But they were very gracious, and they took us, you know, to the Panama Canal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the interior some. We went to a beach for like a day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did see.
Got to see
things.
A little bit
yeah,
while you're
right.
there. Okay.
Right.
Now, one of the things I find fascinating, okay, because that was your first trip, and that was how long ago?
24 years.
24 years ago. But you still have a Panama connection.
We do.
So I wanted to talk about that a little bit. I'm kind of in some ways jumping ahead, but since we're already talking about Panama, and so explain to me a little bit about your Panama connection and what's going on with that.
You go ahead.
Okay. Well, our granddaughter, this is her 8th year now in Panama as a missionary. She went at age 16 with a friend, another girl that was 18, and they went because of the missionaries that we supported mm-hmm. down there in Panama City. And they actually had even been in Cologne, too. So they'd been down there a number of years. But anyway, Emily, our granddaughter, is currently serving there, and she has such a ministry for young ladies, and I mean, she does so many things. She goes to Guatemala on medical trips, and she goes there with children's programs, and she's been to Togo, Africa to work, and she has been to Indonesia several times to work with a school and an orphanage, and she also, this is another dynamic, is mm-hmm. the fact that she serves in a Chinese church, mm-hmm. and so she's learning Mandarin, and then she's of course very fluent in Spanish. Mm-hmm. She interprets for all the doctors and the pastors and the pharmacists and everything. So she she loves it. She's been there now, like I said, this is her
right.
8th year.
Now, I didn't know if we'd get into this or not, and I won't take a lot of time, but still, yeah, it fascinates me. Unless somebody's actually done some real history. So why is she learning Mandarin Chinese in Panama?
Right. Well, assuming that many of the Chinese people came to build the canal,
mm-hmm.
and they were definitely the workers then, and now they are very, business owners, and they have a large
influence.
The influence and group mm-hmm. of people there. The church that they just started, they just opened in the past year, is in a Chinese community with hardly any churches. And, you know, the gospel is not given there.
Wow.
So she has a lot of, I see Bible study groups of girls that come to their home, and they're mostly Chinese. Mm-hmm. But a lot of Chinese speak Spanish, English, and the Mandarin or Cantonese.
Yeah. So we were, when you'd first told me that, we were kind of joking about what does it sound like for a Chinese person to speak Spanish?
Right.
That just, it's interesting. But that's, what, third or fourth
yes.
generation
yes,
now
it would
of
be.
Chinese
right.
that are there in Panama?
Yes, right.
So that's just a fascinating part that you just wouldn't expect, I think, in that. So, okay, so let's jump back now to you guys as far as your mission. So you went on that first mission trip. And I'm assuming had a good experience
yes.
and really enjoyed that. But why did you go back? In other words, I'm not talking with you guys just because you went on one mission trip.
Right.
But I wanted to talk with you guys because I know you have a heart for missions. Mm-hmm. And so what is it from that first trip or what was it that compelled you to go back or to get more involved in mission opportunities? And I'll let you both kind of answer that if you want to.
I enjoyed it. I enjoy the people, the relationships you build, the people you meet, mm-hmm. and just being able. Both of these churches that we help build today are sending out missionaries themselves.
Are sending out missionaries themselves mm-hmm. from those churches.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yum.
Wow. So. That is amazing. Yeah.
And you know, I was thinking, when we went to Mexico, and to hear them send missionaries to Cuba. And the people that we were with are very poor. Mm-hmm. And they said when they would take a Bible to Cuba, it would be torn into pieces to give away to people to have a page.
Part or a page of the
yes.
Bible. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, to us, it was like, it's very humbling. Mm-hmm. And you cannot imagine how you feel like, we just can't imagine in America.
Yeah.
There's churches on every corner, and these people, how hard it is for them. But anyway, it was very exciting for us to be with them and see their love for the Lord and how they wanted to share the gospel with other people.
Mm-hmm. Now, these churches that are to this point where they began to send missionaries out, how large of churches did they become then? Is that groups of 50 people or so when they sent some missionaries, or did they grow bigger than that? Or
much bigger than
much
that.
Bigger
well,
than that.
I was going to say, I would say the one in Mexico, I believe, is probably a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
The one in Panama. Now, Emily is not, she's with this Chinese church, and then the missionaries that we've supported I would say probably a couple hundred people
mm-hmm.
there, and they have... They used to even have a Spanish-speaking service, and their next service was Chinese. Yes, right.
Yeah.
Or Cantonese or
Kitties,
Mandarin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I would know the difference between any
oh my
of
gosh.
Those. Yeah.
And what was interesting, too, is when the first time we went down there, we were staying in the barracks that were military, United States military, and they had just evacuated, you know, left because
mm-hmm.
of the United States giving the canal back to Panama.
Mm-hmm.
So they had all these empty barracks. So the pastor and his family lived in one
mm-hmm.
building. We just went down a quarter and stayed, Mike and I, with the Chinese pastor
mm-hmm.
in his end of the barracks. And the other two families were up there with the
wow.
pastor of our missionaries. But
yeah.
anyway, so all of it was just so interesting how it works for them. It
mm-hmm.
was fun.
Well, so in Baptist circles, a lot of times one of our themes that was adopted, and maybe Jason can remember if it was a Southern Baptist thing or not, but pray, give, go
yep.
was kind of a theme that was often used, and maybe that was just an individual thing that
mm-hmm.
churches picked up. I don't know. And I think that's something that most believers are okay with, the pray and the give. And Cedar Grove has been incredibly supportive of different missions and different opportunities and things like that. And over the years, we've had several people, like you guys, have been involved in going to various places and different missions. I know we've had groups that have gone to Colorado many, many years ago with the pastor before me. You know, we've been to Texas. We've been to Mexico, a couple of myself and Chris Fanning and a couple of others. And then some of the other people that I'm going to interview in some of these other podcasts, we're going to look at some other places that some of our folks have been. But what do you think is the key? And this might be a really hard question, I don't know, but what's the key from somebody getting to the point of pray and give to the actual, okay, I'm going to go part. What do you think is the obstacle or the difficulties in overcoming that? And how do we get to that point? Yeah, I want to go. Got a really great spiritual answer for me there?
I don't. I was thrilled every time a missionary would come in and speak. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed at their stories. And I always wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And but I knew I wasn't a preacher.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And I knew I could build and I knew I could serve. So I don't know how to... For us, it was going to with this missionary and seeing all the needs and mm-hmm. seeing the people and seeing a church that needed to be built.
Mm-hmm. And was some of that kind of overwhelming when you saw that? I mean, was that kind of like, oh, my gosh, kind of thing?
Yeah, it was overwhelming. I just couldn't believe the way they live and the way they eat and the way they...
You can tell them about Pete.
Yeah. Just... kind of the sidekick of the pastor in Panama. His name was, we called him Pete because we couldn't pronounce his name.
Okay.
But he lived in a house without running water, without electricity. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had electricity, but no refrigerator. Mm-hmm. They cooked outside. We saw a need there. So when we got back, our youth department raised money enough to mm-hmm. get him the electricity and the refrigerator and the stove and things mm-hmm. like this.
Hmm.
That was exciting.
Yeah. So you stayed in contact with the church and that particular group that you helped build the church for. And so that was mm-hmm. an ongoing thing.
Right.
That,
yes.
And I think a lot of churches have found that to be really helpful mm-hmm. to establish a connection mm-hmm. as opposed to just kind of going here one year and there another year
right.
stuff. And there's a need for both in that. But so that's interesting. So what, let me give you a shot at that same question then. You know, what was it you think that pray, give, go? What is it that gets us over to the hump to go?
Well, and, you know, lots of people will think about maybe the cost of going. It is expensive okay, to
sure.
fly and so forth. And yet I
sure.
thought how when God gives you opportunity and shows you that, and you know he's tugging at your heart to have you go, he provides also. And it was... you know, the airfare, they would get the very best mm-hmm. prices and so forth. And then we took every time suitcases full, we would find out what their needs were. So for children or for clothing or for tools, we took dental equipment. We took our suitcases full for them. And it's like, if you don't go, that doesn't go in a suitcase, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was just like, even just arriving with things that they had need of.
Mm-hmm.
And it made you want to, how does the money get spent? What are their needs?
Mm-hmm.
My granddaughter was in Guatemala, and she even had the chance to, she was with a family that was supporting a girl there for school, and they were able to even just to go get a wheelbarrow for this man and to buy a pot because hers had rusted out and she had nothing to cook with. I mean, if you don't go, you don't see it.
Don't see it. No. Don't realize it.
Right.
Yeah. So what do you think then? So, I don't necessarily care how many trips, but I mean, you're talking, you now over the last several years have gone 8, 10, 12?
Actually, five.
Five major trips.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Okay. But then I also know you've done some local, because I know you've done right. a couple little local trips and stuff with us already in that. So, but five, what you would consider major trips
major,
where you're going
right.
down to Panama, Mexico, that type
mm-hmm.
of thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kind of wrap it up in this way. And then what do you feel like God taught you? What were some of the lessons and things that you come back, some of the memories you have, some of the things you're like, man, I'm really glad God gave me the opportunity to see that or do that. So do you land on any one thing or two, or is that just kind of an overall feeling of this is what God wanted us to do?
Well, I've always felt that that's what God wanted me to do, and I wanted to do it,
mm-hmm.
and I just felt blessed. And you know, there's a lot of times we couldn't afford to go or something, but God always
mm-hmm.
provided.
Okay.
And and the time, sometimes it would come up at bad times, but you know, we just went and God worked it all out. And I just I just feel blessed from God.
Okay.
And all the relationships, I think about, you know, even building our own church in Lee Summit, all the people, you build big, huge relationships with the people you work with. Mm-hmm. And it happened in Panama. And
I think for guys, that's a lot of times a really big thing, working side by side. It's because we're not always the most verbal, you know, we don't sit around and chat about certain things, but when we work together, it does, you build that companionship or relationship. So I think that is a big thing often for guys. Jeannie?
The people that we spent time with, you know, there's a language barrier. Mm-hmm. I want to say our color of our skin's different. I mean, all these things, and yet you see, when you sit in their services and they're singing the same hymns that you know, only in a different language, and you see the joy in their hearts, and they have a harder life. They struggle. We can't drink their water, so they would buy a 2-liter of Coke, and they have to work a whole day to pay for that bottle of Coke for us. It's very humbling, and I thought how their love, and they were so grateful for us. They would do anything to serve us. They hugged us, and tears were shed as you leave. You just can't imagine how you walk away from there so humbled. You think you've done something for them, and mm-hmm. they've changed you. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the story that I hear so much from people mm-hmm. is, I didn't do anything for them, but they did everything for me. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of what I hope that the next generation of folks here at Cedar Grove. It's interesting you talk about the fact that your guys, you know, built the church there at Lee Summit. Very much the story here, mm-hmm. you know, because this was pretty much all built with volunteer help. And they would work till they ran out of money, and they'd raise some money and then build some more. And so there was that group of guys who there's only a few of left here now that were in that mix. And so part of my heart as a pastor is, how do we raise the next generation of men and women that have a heart to serve and to be involved in missions and recognize the importance? So, well, guys, thank you. And if you got anything else, I'll let you add something else. We're not necessarily on a time limit, but I know if I get you going, we could be here a long, long time with a lot of stories and stuff. But if anything comes to mind you want to share, I'll let you.
Well, thank you for this time to share. Okay. And we are just, I mean, our heart would want for others to see how good it is to go. They need to go. The young people, middle age, and then our age.
You're middle age.
you're
my age. Yeah.
and then some. But we're just, you know, I just think that to challenge people to see, take any opportunity. If God shows you. He'll provide. Mm-hmm. You should go.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you very much. And I want to encourage our listeners, share this with some other folks. Let them hear, get involved. And then in the coming weeks, we're going to have some interviews with some other couples within the Cedar Grove family, kind of talk about some of their experiences. And one of the things that you're going to find is such a diversity of experiences. Mm-hmm. So Mike and Jeannie have had this particular experience connection with Panama, but the next groups are going to have completely different stories. Mm-hmm. But yet that connection of taking the gospel in serving in ways to spread the gospel literally around the world. So thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
That'll wrap it up for this episode of the Grovecast. We'll see you next time.